Kind enough to join us this morning, taking time out of his morning, is Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science at the University of Akron, connected with the Blizz Institute, so very much involved in polling and such and what they do there in the world of political education and political science. David also has some very good opinions pertaining to the Electoral College. We hear so much about the Electoral College compared to the personal one-on-one voting, right? It's had a role in politics in the United States for hundreds of years. Why is it? And is it still relevant in 2024? David, good morning. Welcome to the show, my friend. And do we still need the Electoral College?
Good morning, Ray. Boy, you start off with a loaded question right at the top there.
Hey, and Radio David, you got to get right to it, my friend.
I guess so. Well, you know, first of all, the Electoral College, the reason we have it is it was a compromise at the Constitutional Convention. It wasn't anybody's first choice, but, you know, there was a big division between the large states that wanted to see direct election by eligible citizens, which, of course, at that time meant adult white male landowners, and the smaller states that wanted to see that choice made by Congress or by the state legislatures, and so they were at an impasse. The Electoral College was simply a compromise, being a compromise, it wasn't anybody's first choice, but it was one that they could all live with, you know, because direct election by the people at that point in 1789 wasn't practical, given, you know, how big of a country we already were geographically, and there was no way to really travel easily or communicate. And then the system in which Congress or state legislatures would choose the president, that was thought to be a violation of the separation of powers system that they were putting into place. So the Electoral College was it, and we've been using it ever since 1789. And I would argue, going back to your question, is it is way past time to get rid of this arcane system. You know, my biggest beef with the Electoral College is the fact, if you just look in the 21st century, we've already had two elections in which the popular vote winner lost the election simply because of the Electoral College math. And to me, any system in which the person that gets the most votes doesn't win the election, should be scrapped immediately. And we really haven't talked as a country about literally getting rid of the Electoral College since the 1970s. And there was a serious movement then. And I think it's something that lawmakers should consider now. And we would have to amend the Constitution, or enough states would have to change how they go about selecting their electors to change the system.
So, David, when we looked at, and I want to go back to your open there, which was very detailed, when we look at the Electoral College, to summarize it, it was basically put in place based on population and weighting the country. Is that a good way to summarize it?
Yeah, I mean, it was put in place because, the large states and the small states couldn't agree on a system. And, you know, the large states were looking out for the large states. The small states were looking out for their interests. And so it was a compromise. And the small states, you know, went along with it because they realized that a number of the elections would actually be thrown into the U.S. Congress for the Congress to decide. And then and the way it works is the House of Representatives decides on the president, and they do it on a one-vote-per-state basis. And so every state would be equal in this system. And by the way, one thing that we haven't talked about, and I co-authored an op-ed with Rob Alexander from Bowling Green on this topic, is the fact that the possibility of an Electoral College vote tie this year in 2024 is actually pretty high. And if that happens, it is a disaster. It goes into the U.S. Congress, and the House decides on the president, the Senate decides on the vice president. You could even have a situation in which the House and the Senate pick people from different parties. And you could potentially have, for example, a Trump-Walls administration, because of this system.
Wow. Dr. David Cohen is with us from the University of Akron, with us, professor of political science. David, my obvious question is, why haven't we looked into changing this? What has stalled on some of the efforts?
Well, I think the major reason is because of the Electoral College system, it favors two major parties. It really prevents a third-party candidate from really having any kind of significant chance of winning. You know, the last time a third-party candidate got electoral votes in this system was 1968 with George Wallace, the segregationist governor from Alabama. And before that, you know, the last serious third-party challenger that had a chance to win was Teddy Roosevelt after he had already been president and came back and challenged his successor as a third-party candidate. Remember, he created the Bull Moose Party. So the two parties don't have an incentive to get rid of the system because it makes sure that there really are only two major political parties in the country, and they don't want to give a third party or a fourth or a fifth party. They don't want to open it up to the chances, that they could have the duopoly that's in place eliminated.
David, but what it does do, and I've heard certain people say this, is why do I vote? It doesn't matter anyways because the Electoral College votes.
Well, and you know what? Honestly, that's true. Unless you live in seven battleground states in this year's election, which are the blue wall states of, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, or if you live in one of the Sun Belt battleground states like Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina, and you're voting in the presidential election, it really doesn't matter. It's almost like the presidential election isn't even happening. Here in Ohio, we used to be a battleground state. We are a battleground state no more, at least in 2024. It used to be that in, election cycles gone by, the presidential candidates couldn't come to Ohio enough, and we were bombarded on television with ads, the campaign staff were all over the state. Well, in 2024, it's like Ohio doesn't even exist on the presidential level. Most of the investment, most of the ads we're seeing, it's not for the presidential race, it's for the Senate race or for the congressional races. And that's one of the problems with the Electoral College is the great majority of states are ignored during the presidential campaign because of the Electoral College system.
And I think it's part of the attrition with getting people out to vote. And I'm not saying it's a major problem, but I've had a lot of people say to me, well, why even we even do that? Where are we as far as the percentage, David? I know you look at polls and percentages and everything through the Bliss Institute. What is the percentage of people that go out and use their right to vote?
Ray, I don't have those stats at the top of my head. if you would ask my colleague John Green, he would have that memorized. I unfortunately would not. But I do know that, in the last few election cycles, we have seen an uptick in voting just because the races have been so close overall. And even though we have this Electoral College system, it hasn't deterred people from actually coming out and exercising their right to vote. It'll be really interesting, though, to see in Ohio the number of votes on the presidential level, because this is really the first year in probably my lifetime that Ohio has not been a battleground state at all.
Is there any humming at all coming out of D.C., David, pertaining to the Electoral College and getting this change, or is this a dead issue right now?
I think, well, right now it's a dead issue if it was going to be done by a constitutional amendment. However, there is a movement called the National Popular Vote Movement, and it involves an interstate compact between various states, because it's up to the states to decide how they are going to award their electors. And it's a movement, under this proposal, if enough states decide to sign on to this interstate compact and enough decide, and that number gets over 270 electoral votes, where a state would award their electors to the person that won the national popular vote, regardless of who won that state, that could actually kill the Electoral College. The problem is, there haven't been enough states to sign on to the bill. Right now, I believe it's 19 states, including District of Columbia, have signed on to it, totaling about 208 electoral votes, which is 77% of the 270 votes needed. But it doesn't look like there are any more states that are really going to seriously consider this. And even if there was enough, it would certainly be challenged in the federal courts, and we have no idea what the U.S. Supreme Court would say.
Yeah, Dr. David Cohen with us, University of Akron, professor of political science. Hey, David, before I let you go, I know you're busy this morning with the Bliss Institute and polls and such. Obviously, we've got a very close presidential election ahead. What are the polls telling you right now?
It's a coin flip at this point. The Bliss Institute actually has a poll in the field right now, so hopefully we'll be releasing those results in the next week or two, and that should tell us a little bit more about the situation in Ohio, not only on the presidential level, but at the U.S. Senate level as well.
All right. David, great information this morning. Thanks for accepting the invitation. Always look forward to our conversations, my friend. Thank you.
Same here, Ray. Take care.